Go now to our Dáil studio, where we're joined by the Minister of Public Expenditure, Pascal Donoghue. Very good afternoon, Minister, and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Brian.
Now, I know you're here to talk about changes being made to the delivery of projects under the National Development Plan, and we will come to that in just a moment. But this vote, you've won the confidence vote on the Labour motion this morning. There's a further Sinn Féin motion in relation to the ending of the evictions ban this evening. Is the government confident it will win that one too?
Yes, we will. We are confident that we will win that vote. But the events of today just underline for me how we have to continue our relentless focus on building as many homes as possible. We are making progress. We built nearly 30,000 homes last year, brought in many measures to support their affordability. We're building more social and affordable houses than we have for decades. Okay. And we need to keep at that progress, because in acknowledging that not enough progress has been made, it also has to further commit us to doing more.
Right. And we'll come to some of that in just a moment. But just on the Dáil situation, the regional independents supported the government in the vote this morning. Presumably you're expecting them to back you again this evening. Now, and there's been a lot of talk around this, the price that they've extracted for this support. We saw some of their measures taken on board in relation to the issue of housing and rents. Are the independents now dictating aspects of government policy?
Well, we will take on board good ideas or suggestions that anybody has in the Dáil. And I think a key point to indicate is that while we are in government and we obviously have responsibility for housing and every other policy area, we will, of course, take on board suggestions from within the Dáil and outside
of
the Dáil.
But some of your own backbenchers say these measures, some of them were suggested by them prior to them being taken on board as a result of the independence.
And some of the measures that we did decide to adopt are measures that have been considered and suggested by many politicians over the last number of weeks and months. But really, the size of the win that the government had today in the Dáil vote does really indicate the stability that is there at the moment and the ability of the government to see out its full mandate and continue to work on those things that will make a difference to the people of Ireland. So far from it being a story just of the role of the independents in the Dáil, and we do obviously value their support. We also have commanded now a significant majority in a number of important votes in the last 2 weeks.
In relation to the lifting of the evictions ban, what's going to be the result of that in terms of notices to quit taking effect? How many people are going to face eviction as a result from next weekend?
It's very difficult for me to be able to answer that question, Brian, because it will depend on how landlords respond to an event that we haven't had present in Ireland now for many decades, which is both the presence of an eviction moratorium and then the exit from it. It is difficult for me to be able to...
What's the range of possibility here?
We have acknowledged, and there has been an acknowledgement in the debate here, that there is a risk that could influence a number of thousands of people based on when we would expect to see normal change within the rental markets. So we do acknowledge a risk that is there. But that is why the government has brought in additional measures to support local authorities and their purchase of rental properties at exactly the point that this change could
happen.
But
the numbers here could certainly be in the thousands. You concede that.
I acknowledge there is a risk. I absolutely do. But the equal point that I'd make, having weighed up what has been an incredibly difficult decision, it's also my considered view that if we were to continue with the eviction moratorium for a lot longer, the number of rental properties that could risk would be even higher.
But if you're talking about thousands of people facing eviction now from just from next weekend and in the weeks and months to come, how can the measures which were announced by the government at the 11th hour, how can they possibly meet the housing needs of the people on that sort, on those sort of numbers of families and individuals?
Well, Brian, one of the key points there is a point you just made to me there in your question, which is that it is going to be over the coming weeks and months. And some of the measures which will make the biggest difference across that period are measures that the government has been considering for some time and myself and Minister Dara O'Brien have been working on. So to give an example of it, what we have done is committed to making additional funding available immediately to local authorities to allow them in to assist them in purchasing rental properties that will have within us those who are receiving HAP payments who could be at risk of losing their home. Yeah, and we will be aiming to implement that measure very shortly.
An aspect, that scheme has been in existence for a year now, and just a few hundred homes have been acquired by local authorities up and down the country. It's really...
But what we are doing is providing additional money for that scheme. And as the analysis of the scheme did acknowledge a number of weeks ago, while it is fair to say that only a small number of properties have been purchased, even when the analysis was done, local authorities at that point were considering the purchase of many hundreds of such properties under that scheme in Dublin City alone.
What
we have done is made additional funding available for that scheme if needed on a national level.
I suppose at the heart of this is a shortage of supply, simply not enough homes being built. Although you told the Dáil this morning that the government was meeting this great challenge of building more homes, but not, it seems, remotely at sufficient scale. Government policy in that regard is failing, isn't it?
Well, I actually made the point here this morning, as I made in opening up the interview with you, Brian, that even though I would respectfully make the case for progress, and building nearly 30,000 homes last year is an over 40% increase in where we were before the pandemic hit. That is progress. But in making the case and arguing that with you, of course, I also acknowledge how many more homes that we need to meet and the demand for housing that is there and present in our society today.
And I mean, the Banking Federation saying this week that nearly 27,000 new units they expect to be delivered this year, which would be well below the government's target. And I mean, even more further behind what many believe is actually necessary to meet demand.
But it's also welcome that the ESRI today brought out a report indicating that there could be 31,000 homes delivered in 2024 and around 27,000 homes completed this year. And that is more homes
which is
being
less
built
than the government's target for this year.
Which, according to the ESRI figure for this year, it would be. But that is why the government is looking at additional measures that we can take that will give us the best possible chance of delivering our targets for both this year and next year.
I mean, if we look, for example,
I guess the key point I'm making, Brian, just very quickly in summary, as you make your next question to me, is of course I acknowledge that we need to deliver more homes year by year. But I can make the case that year by year, even with the impact of the pandemic and having to close our construction sector down and the price of building a home going through the roof, we are now building significantly more homes at the moment than we were before the pandemic hit Ireland.
All right, if I could move on to these this package of measures which you've announced in relation to delivering the National Development Plan. Is this an acknowledgement that the existing regime isn't delivering?
So I believe it is delivering in thoroughness, and I believe it is delivering what it needs to do from an evaluation perspective. But I do believe we need to do that work quicker. And there's two reasons why I believe we need to do that work on a faster pace. Number one, it's due to the impact of inflation. As raw materials continue to go up in price, the longer it takes for us to evaluate projects, the more expensive they become to deliver. And secondly, I want to ensure that within any given year, we spend all of our capital programme within the year. And we are making a number of changes in how we evaluate projects to meet both of those needs.
And is this going to make any difference to the final cost of the National Children's Hospital? I think, what's the latest figure, is 1.7 billion, is that right?
So the current figure from government at the moment is 1.4 billion euro. That's the budget that we have for the hospital. We have acknowledged, however, that we do expect the cost to go up. To deal with your question, will the changes that I'm making here make an impact on that? The honest answer is no, because these are decisions that we will make in relation to new projects and allowing them to be built, I believe, at a faster pace. And the final cost of the National Children's Hospital is currently the subject of engagement between the contractor and the body who oversees that hospital. But it is a hospital that will have 380 new inpatient rooms in it for children and will have 22 state-of-the-art operating theatres in it to look after our very sickest children. Right. And the public code is influenced, however, by my learnings from being involved in that project, and none of the changes we made at the time of building building the National Children's Hospital will be impacted by the new public spending code that we're going to put in place.
Just a final question before I let you go, Minister, and it's in relation to the cost of living supports and unwinding those supports. Now, as a chair of the Eurogroup, you've been saying that European governments need to look at ending these supports because the arguments we made that they are quite possibly contributing to inflation and exerting greater cost of living pressures on European economies. And yet, of course, as a minister, as a member of the cabinet, you've supported the extension of the measures here and possibly further electricity credit in the autumn. So which is it? Do they stay or do they go?
So what we have said at a European level is the economic supports need to change and they need to be phased out when the cost of inflation and cost of energy goes down. And actually, the measures that we've put in place in Ireland reflect that direction of policy. So if you look at the new measures that we've brought in up to the summer, we decided, even though the energy credit I know was a very popular and a very effective policy, we decided not to repeat that. And instead, what we did was bring in targeted measures to help those who are most affected by the rising cost of energy. And we've also decided to phase out in a gradual basis the significant tax reductions that we put in place last year. And then what we'll do at the very end of the year, which is in line with the view of European finance ministers on this topic, is we'll see where we are with inflation later on in the year and overall economic performance. And at that point, then decide what's the appropriate budget for next year. But we have changed the direction of support policy in the Irish economy because we want to help our society, but we don't want to make our inflationary difficulties worse. Right. And we have to be confident we can afford what we're doing as well.
Minister of Public Expenditure and Reform, Pascal Donoghue, thanks very much for talking to us.
Brian.
Back with more after this short break.